The title of my remarks, Going to Secular Court versus Beis Din, is a bit misleading. It seems to equate these two alternatives, which as you all know is not the case. In a number of weeks we'll read Ve'ela HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lefnehem, and the Gemara tells us in Masech Gittin, the very end, Lefnehem V'lo Lefnei Ovdei Gachovim. Rashi quotes it in Chumash. We are not permitted to appear before secular courts. Rather, if a dispute exists between two Jewish parties, we are required to submit this dispute to a Beis Din, a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, a Beis Din Tzedek. There are exceptional cases, which are fall far beyond the purview of my immediate shiur and time constraints thereof. There are cases in which a person has to go to a secular court because the Beis Din is unable to provide appropriate relief. Someone is in danger. You have to call the police or call the secular authorities to prevent the danger. Danger to life, danger to limb, the endangerment of a child from abuse or other types of situations. There are situations in which a person may, in fact, with rabbinical approval, appeal to a secular authority for what we'll call a stay or an injunction, which a Beis Din is not always able to provide. And there are a number of other situations, but we're not going to go into that this morning. Rather, I'll focus this morning on a single particular case. And that is, there are situations in which a person may actually go to secular court because the adversarial party refuses to submit to a Beis Din. You'll say, how can he do it? It's against the Torah. It's against the Torah. But not everyone follows the Torah, unfortunately. There are individuals who, for whatever reason, decide they're going to take the case to secular court, whether it be plaintiff or defendant, leaving the other party with no recourse but to have to pursue the case in secular court with the adversary. And that is the topic of our discussion for today. So the Shulchan Aruch says, before we get to the sources in front of you, Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Chav Vav Sif Aleph, Osru Lodon Bifnei Dayanei Akum Uvar Kol Shalehem. One may not go to a secular court, even if, in a particular case, a secular court rules according to the same laws as the Jewish court, and even if both parties agree to go to the secular court, it is still not permissible. And there's some serious descriptions of an individual. A person who goes to a secular court is considered to be a rasha, an evil person. Very powerful expression. So we don't take this lightly at all. So says the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Chavov, Sif Aleph. The Ramah says that someone who went to Arkol Shalakum, Vinischaya Bidinehem, he went to secular court and he lost. He lost. V'chakak chozer v'tzvolof dayone Yisrael. He wants to be called today a second bite at the apple. He already lost in secular court. Now he wants a second chance to perhaps prevail in the Jewish court. Ramah says, Yesh omim de'ein eskoking lo. We ignore him. Why should we give him two chances to win? It's bad enough that he went to secular court in the first place. He lost there. It's over. Some disagree. And there's a complex discussion. Hasvari shana ikar. The Ramah follows the first view. Once a person went to secular court and he lost there, the Beis Din will not entertain his claim any longer. Here's a big problem. That's the topic of my discussion for this morning. Rabbi Kiva Eger tells us on his commentary over here that if an individual goes to secular court, this in and of itself is a violation, a very serious violation as we've heard. But it's an additional violation. If the individual who went to secular court prevails by secular law and either receives money or does not have to pay money, at the end of the day, he has money, which is not entitled to according to Jewish law, over and above the violation, the infraction of Lefneim, V'lo Lefneim, of the Kachavim, he is a simple thief. Thief. He's in violation of the Yisur of Geneva. He now has money which belongs to somebody else. According to Torah law, he was not entitled to receive it, and he collected it in secular court. He's a thief. And if according to Torah law, he was required to pay it, and he didn't pay it, because secular law said he didn't have to pay it, he's again a thief. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger. simply a thief. Now, Hamamon Gezel Biyodim. Here's the major question. That being the case, how is it possible that an individual who prevails in secular court, when he's forced to go there by his adversary, is able to keep the money? Or in fact, is he able to keep the money? Let me repeat the question one more time. There's Reuven and Shimon. We'll call Reuven, since it starts with an R, we'll call him the Russia. Okay, make it easy to remember. So Reuven the Russia decided to go to a secular court when he should have gone to Bezna. Shimon, there's an expression, Shimon HaTzadik, right? Everyone knows about Shimon HaTzadik. So Shimon will be the Tzadik. He had no choice, no recourse, but to take the case to a secular court because Reuven the Russia wouldn't come to Bezna. Let's assume that Shimon the Tzadik prevails in secular court. So if the money that he wins in secular court, either as plaintiff or defendant, is, quote, coming to him according to Jewish law, fine and dandy. How are we to know that? And what if he gets money which he's not entitled to according to Din HaTorah, and he wins in secular court? Is he supposed to refund it to Reuven the Russia? Is that a requirement? So now we're ready to approach the source sheet that you have in front of you. I assume everyone has a short source sheet. We're going to start with the last source first. It's a one-page, two-sided Hebrew language source sheet. I know that not everyone is familiar with the Hebrew, especially the rabbinical Hebrew, so I will translate, but I felt it was important for those who have the background to be able to see these sources in their original form. The Nesivos HaMishpat is one of the most famous and widely accepted super commentaries on the Choshen Mishpat. And he is commenting on what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Beis. You do not have it in front of you. I'm going to read it to you first. Siv Beis. An individual who was a defendant refuses to appear before a Beis Din. He calls upon him. He asks him to come once, twice, three times. We have a whole Hazmana system. Refuses to come. No tel reshus mi Beis Din. He gets what we call in our language a heter arkos, which literally means a dispensation to take the case to a secular court. Umatzil bedine akum miad baldino. And he may, in fact, save the money, if you will, to get the money back from the adversary. And this is permissible. Now he came in where it says little Oz Gimel, the very last source in your sheet, Gimel. Umatzil bedine akum. That's a quotation from Shulchan Aruch. Venira, the last one on that line. The Mairi beofan. When will the Jewish judges allow this plaintiff, we call him Shimon HaTzadik, to go to secular court if they have a comfort level that the Shimon is entitled to the money according to Dinei Yisrael? Come be milva b'shtar. Here's a document. But the milva al peh, if it's a loan without any written proof, he afshal the dayanei Yisrael itan lo rishus lotzi. They can't give him permission to go to secular court. The Amar Eino Chayav Lo Kol Kach. Maybe he's not, in fact, maybe Reuven is not obligated so much money. So he claims. This is a remarkable statement, which in real life is not accepted. Despite the great authority of the Nesivos, to my knowledge, there's no Bezin in the world which, in fact, conforms with this ruling. Not at all. And the question, of course, becomes, then how is it that the person is permitted to go to a secular court, in which case he may prevail as the plaintiff in secular court and receive monies that he's not entitled to according to Jewish law? Would not put him in the situation where he's a simple thief? True, he didn't violate the Easter Arkos. It's not his fault. It's the defendant's fault. But if he wins in secular court and gets money which he's not entitled to according to Din Torah, he's a thief. So how can Bezdin do such a thing, to give him permission to go, when he may be in fact guilty of theft as a result of their dispensation? Is the question clear? Okay, let us try to proceed with an answer. To save time, we're going to go straight to the Or Zeruah, which is the first source. This source, remember, the, you have to put things in context. The Or Zeruah is one of the greatest Rishonim, lived a long time ago. And what he says has tremendous authority. This is the very opening page of the Or Zeruah in the second volume. Before he even gets to Baba Kama, is an introduction to Hilchos Akos. And he starts off by quoting the things which I quoted you by Baal Peril. Let's see it inside. Always good to review. Quotes the last Gemara Masechet the Gittin based on the pasuk which we'll read soon. Ve'el ha'mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. You may not go to what he calls Aguriel shel Akum, to secular court. Line 2. Afal pisha dineim kedine Yisrael yator asher lezokak lehem. You may still not go lefneihem. Lefneihem, line 3. Not only that, at the end of line 3, the Afal Pi in Rafilu, which would say, Imdano Osam B'Diyeved, Ein Dineihem Din. That in case, this case was heard by a secular court, and they judged, their din is simply invalid. And he proves it from the laws of Gittin, and we cannot go into the details of the Gittin story right now. Just at the end of the day, Holomadata, last three lines in this paragraph, Aleph, Afila b'diyeved, Akum shadonu, Ein dinehem din. This is not valid. Not valid. Now we go to what's called Os Gimel. We have a remarkable chiddush from a remarkable posik. V'yu nira ve'enai, Shem kiblu aleihem es dayone akum. Shneihem, Hatovea v'anitu meritzona. Both the plaintiff and the defendant agreed to go to secular court. Vidanu osam kedine Yisrael, and in fact, the secular court ruled in accordance with Jewish law. Dineihem din. This, in fact, post facto, is a valid decision, and he gives again a precedent from the laws of Gittin. A precedent from the laws of Gittin. And Os Dalit, he goes further. And we're going to skip to save time to the second paragraph of Os Dalit, at the very end. Hilchos, Heicha Shadano Kidine Yisrael B'Di'eved Dineihem Din. Miu Lechatchila Imatinu Krom Lefneihem. So what does he say, in brief? If both parties agreed to go to the secular court, although they're not permitted to do so, they're not permitted to go to secular court, even with mutual consent, nonetheless, if the secular court ruled in accordance with Jewish law, such a ruling is valid post facto. Is that clear? A very big chiddush of the Or Zeruah. Let's try to understand why it's true. Why should it be true? Remarkably, in explaining why it's true, the Or Zeruah appeals to a remarkable concept that all of us are familiar with. It's the seventh line, sixth line of Dalit. Dina de Malchusa Dina. The law of the land is law. Then there are three dots, dot, dot, dot. Holomadata. Dehecha shekiblu osa meritzonam de dineem din. Dina de Malchusa Dina. Quite remarkable. He explains why, two lines later. Aval ha-din nitztavu b'nei Noach. He's quoting Rashi. Amazing. B'nei Noach nitztavu al ha-dinim v'istu b'toras dinim. That's where the paragraph ends. Amazing. Noachides have, as one of their seven fundamental commandments, a requirement to establish laws and courts. And in some way, believe it or not, this ruling affects even two Jewish people who appear before a secular authority, a secular court. The din is considered valid to some extent because of what we call Dina de Malchusa Dina. Now, the Or Zeruah limited it to a case in which probably by coincidence, the secular court ruled in accordance with Jewish law. They said as we gave the example before, Reuven HaRosha or Shimon HaTzadik, $1,000, which is exactly what a Jewish court would have ruled. In that kind of a case, we say that post facto the ruling is correct. If they picked the number $3,000, which is not true according to Jewish law, that far he did not go. Let me explain why this is so. When an individual goes to a secular court, it's a violation. Ve'ela mishpatim ha'shatosa lifneim, again for the third time, lifneim v'lo lifnei ovdei kocham. If they accepted upon themselves secular law, listen very carefully, secular law, this is an additional violation. Again, in most situations, it's an additional violation. If, however, the secular court ruled in accordance with Dinei Yisrael, then the first violation exists. They had no right to go to secular court in the first place. But the second violation does not exist because Jewish law, in fact, at the end, prevailed. The difference will be what happens post facto. If the non-Jewish court ruled according to non-Jewish law, it's not a valid ruling. And by making it an invalid ruling, and in effect undoing the ruling, we are saving the participants from a violation of following non-Jewish law. And we have a concept in our halachic terminology called i'ovid lo mahani. If you do something which is wrong, post facto, we undo it. Never happened. However, if they ruled in accordance with Din Torah, then we say that post facto, it did happen. You'll ask, wait a minute. But they're both in violation of Lifneim v'lo Lifnei of the Gachavim. They both violated this terrible sin by going to secular court. Here's the answer. Undoing the ruling will have no bearing on this violation. The violation has already happened. The mere fact that they decided to go to the secular court is itself a violation. Undoing the ruling will in no way ameliorate the situation. So in this kind of a case, we have the rule that although they violated Chilul Hashem and Yikir HaAlilim, they somehow gave more honor to the secular system than it deserves according to Torah law. That's done already. That's done. If you look in the Tumim, by the famous of Yonas and Abjits, right over here, in Osvav, he explains that we don't say Yavad Lo Mahani if it's not going to accomplish anything. So therefore, the ruling, in fact, stands. So far, we're talking about a case, let's review again, where both parties agreed to go to the secular court, and the secular court ruled in accordance with Torah principles. We have not yet answered our question. Don't think I forgot. We have not yet answered our question. Let's review our question one more time. Our question is, in a case in which the secular court rules not in accordance with Torah law, I repeat, the secular court rules according to its own law, which is different than Torah law. So the question becomes, how is a plaintiff, for example, who is given permission by a Beis Din to take the case to a secular court, and he wins in secular court, how is he allowed to keep the money? Why isn't he a thief? To further emphasize the question before giving you an answer, I'd like to show you what the Nesivos explains. The Nesivos explains, this is the first part of the Nesivos, again, three, what's called Beis, Oz Beis, Hasvar Rishon Iker, I read it to you before. That means that once an individual took the case of secular court, and I once come to Beis Din, Beis Din will show him the door. Why should Beis Din show him the door? Maybe he's entitled to the money. The Tumim gives two reasons. Again, Rav Yonas and Avshitz. One, Tavi Kikibal of Korav Apostle and Yochel Lachz Bacha Gemar Kinyan. He accepted upon himself a disqualified tribunal. Once you accepted it, it's binding. Beis, Mishum Knas, it's a fine, it's a penalty. Because he committed a sin. Shalach of Nayakal. What's the difference between the two reasons? If he took a bribe, we're not going into it. Now, the last full line is the critical line in the Nesivos, in the Nesivos Beis, which is consistent with what he said in the Gimel. Avol Mabal Din Biatzmi Odeya. Let's say the defendant wanted to go to Beis Din, but the plaintiff insists that we go to secular court. No choice, right? You have to defend yourself. There's no alternative. He defends himself, and he wins. He wins 100%. But deep in his heart, he knows. The guy asked him for $1 million. Yes, that's very often in secular court. $1 million I want. He knows he only owes him $1,000. Exaggeration. If he asks for $1 million, maybe he'll get some kind of a X on the dollar. So you put up a $1 million claim. Why not? I know it. I get off scot-free. Scot-free. The court sees right through this fellow, innocent completely. But I know that I really owe him $1,000. Now, I'm not going here right now, but it's possible that I can subtract legal expenses in this kind of a case. But for argument's sake, there were no legal expenses, whatever it may be. I owe him $1,000. So let's look back at the Nesivus. He knows Chayav Lo B'Din Torah. Vadai Ditzarech L'Shalem Lo. Yet this Reuven HaRosha will still receive $1,000 check from Shimon HaTzadik, because Shimon is a tzaddik. He knows he owes Reuven $1,000. That he's a Russia, it's irrelevant. If you borrow money from Russia, you have to pay him back. I owe him $1,000. I have to give him the money. But it goes even further. Look at the deceiver. Says it's unbelievable what he says. Va'afilim u'mesupuk. Shimon HaTzadik is in doubt whether he owes Reuven $1,000 or not. What does he do? Tzarech lodon lifnei dayona Yisrael. He now has to go in front of some rabbi, and maybe even a Bezdin, and say the whole truth. Reuven took me to secular court. I wanted to go to a Bezdin. Reuven refused, so he ended up in secular court. I won hands down. Do I owe Reuven any money? Talk about a tzaddik. Who in this room has ever done that? I guess we still have what to aspire to. This is what the Nesivus requires us to do. The Nesivus is consistent. And he says, if you don't give the money, you're a thief. Because after all, the law of the Torah must obviously apply in these kinds of cases. Yet, my experience has taught me that nobody follows this Nesivus. Not the Bezdins and not the litigants. And of course, the question becomes, why? I want to tell you a tremendous chiddush. I know this is going to be a very wonderful program. As we heard, I have to leave as soon as I finish. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it. But at least I'll give you my chiddush, which is I believe, something you can think about. It's a remarkable chiddush in that it has a specific halachic, pragmatic ramification, as we're going to be discussing, but it also really talks to the whole general issue. Really, if you want to think about it more broadly, you know, Jews are human beings as well. We also descend from Noach. And therefore, the rules and regulations of the Noachides, in some way, shape, or form, affect us as well. This sounds like a liberal position, but I think it's a true position. And listen very carefully. We mentioned earlier that there are two possible violations. One is going to secular court, and two is having the secular law prevail. Who violates this prohibition of going to secular court? If both parties agree to go to the secular court, both parties are in violation. What happens if one party did not go to secular court of his own volition, but in effect was forced to go to secular court by the opposite party? This individual has not violated anything. He listens to exactly what the rabbinical judges tell him. They say, listen, you have no choice. If you're being summoned to a secular court by another Jew, and he refuses to go to a Bezdin, what are you going to do? You have to appear in secular court, and you have to defend yourself. There's absolutely no alternative. And in the opposite case, he refuses to come to a Bezdin. We saw it in Shulchan Aruch, we read it before. Matzal miyodam, you can in fact go to the secular court with the permission of a Bezdin. We call it a heter arkos. This individual, we call him Shimon HaTzadik, is not in violation of any law whatsoever. He goes to a secular court with the full blessing of the rabbinical court, because he has no alternative. The adversarial party refuses to have the case heard before a Bezdin. Clear? This Shimon's really a tzaddik. He has no choice but to appear in the secular court, either defend himself or to attempt to collect the money which he thinks he's entitled to. My chiddush is as follows. that since the Torah teaches us that B'nai Noach have an obligation to establish dinim, to establish laws, rules and regulations, we too, Jews as well, are subsumed under these laws. The only time they do not apply is in the typical case in which an individual is in violation of lifneim velo lifnei of the Rechavim. Ve'ela mishpatam ashetosam lifneim. Clearly, if an individual violated the Torah's requirement that he appear in a bez and not in the secular court, he cannot turn around and say, well, look, we're also B'nai Noach, we're also members of the general community. No, no. The Torah said you have no right to say that. You are required to appear in front of a bez din. And if you are in violation and don't appear in front of a bez din, you therefore are unable to halakhically maintain monies which are given to you by the ruling of that secular court, because you had no right, no permission to be in that secular court in the first place. However, if you had a halachic right to be in that secular court in the first place, again, because the opposite party, the adversarial party, refused to appear before a Beis Din, then not only are you allowed to appear in that secular court, but you are also entitled, in my humble opinion, I think this is reflecting reality of what goes on in all the Batei Din and litigants, you're entitled to whatever the secular court awards you. I repeat again, you're entitled to whatever the secular court awards you. Why? Because as the Or HaZeruah said, Dina de Malchusa Dina applies even to two Jews who find themselves before secular court. It's true. In his particular case, the secular court ruled in accordance with Torah law. My chiddush is that requirement that they rule in accordance with Torah law only applies in a case where both parties had violated lifneim velo lifnei akum. They both went to bezin of their own volition, and therefore they're not entitled to any money which would be given to them or taken from, not taken from them, according to secular law if it goes against Torah law. But if an individual is a Shimon HaTzadik, he's a totally innocent individual, and he went to secular court with the full permission and blessing of the Dayanim, that he had no alternative, no recourse, no choice, then he's entitled to the money based on the paradigm of the Or HaZeruah, of Dina de Machusa Dina, even in a situation in which he would not be entitled to collect the money or to hold on to the money according to Jewish law. That's my chiddush. I think it's a tremendous chiddush. I mean, tremendous in the sense that it's a big chiddush. Whether it's right or not, I leave to you and others to judge. It's a significant chiddush, and I will tell you that Rabbi Reese and I contemplated the application of this chiddush even to the more serious area of divorce law. Because if you recall correctly, we saw the entire Or HaZeruah is based on an equation of the last half of Masechta Gittin to the monetary law. And therefore it's possible, I'm not giving any definitive rulings over here, it's possible that if an individual went to secular court in a divorce matter with the blessing of the Beis Din, because the other party, let's say for example the husband, refused to come to a Beis Din, and the woman took the case of secular court with what we call a heter arkos, it's not altogether clear that monetary rulings of a secular court would be inappropriate in governing the case. And therefore, though normally speaking, there's a get me'usa problem, a forced get problem, a coerced get problem, when money is involved which is not accorded to the party according to the laws of the Torah, this perhaps would be an exception. Again, it's even more dangerous to tread. You're dealing with the stakes are even higher. But I'm telling the stories out of the Beis Din chambers. Rabbi Reese and I were considering this in a particularly complex case. There were many other considerations as well in that particular case. This is what I wanted to suggest for you. There's much more to be said. I'll just give you one more quote, and we will. I'll open the floor for a few questions. But I want to give you one more quotation that I think is very, very important. A very important quotation. It's on page 2 of the sources, line 2. This is the Maharshal quoting Rabbi Yitzchak Ber Peretz. Vim nesre lechavrei b'chosa malchus. Person takes his adversary to a secular court. V'chakach haveira rotzol l'tova b'din be'osa tviya shunasaras lo be'osa chosam ein is kakin lo. We'd ignore him. Shekeman she'niach dinei Yisrael u'bocha le'he'osar b'dinei ha'umos ha'olam shuv ein is kakin lohem me'osa tviya. This tells us another very important principle, that once an individual is involved significantly in a secular proceeding, he has in effect forfeited his right to collect money or to hold on to money according to Dinei Torah. You don't have to wait until after the secular decision has been rendered. We find this often in our situation. Someone goes to secular court and he smells the coffee. He's not doing too well. Oh, chotosi, avisi, ashamnu, bagadnu. I'm about tshuv. I want to go to Bezdin. Not so fast, says the Rav Yitzchak Rapper. Not so fast. You also are looking for two bites at the apple. The two bites at the apple rule is a very important one. So therefore, there's many, many minutiae, details over here. It's hard to encapsulate them in a very brief discussion. But you have to be very careful. Once you are in secular court significantly, and we define that with very specific rules and regulations, there have been certain court proceedings of significance, not merely technical ones, you already forfeited your right to have the case heard in front of a bezin for the same reason. You're entitled to have the two bites at the apple. For this reason, if an individual is ever summoned to a secular court, what you have to do immediately is to do your best to have the case transferred to a bezin. Right away. Do the best you can. Bezin will attempt to help you. Because if you decide you're going to fight it out, and after 6 months in secular court you see you're losing, you say, I knew from the beginning it belonged to bezin. I really knew it from the beginning. And you appeal to our bezin, maybe you were trying to do the same trick. It's not your fault, really, because the other guy is the bad guy. But no one has clean hands. No one has clean hands. We're not necessarily going to interject ourselves against the will of the parties in such a circumstance. We have these cases in front of our bezin on a regular basis. This concludes my remarks. I have 5 minutes for questions. I'll take them as whoever I see first, I'll take. Yes, sir.
How do you say the person already received the subpoena to appear in a secular court? Right? The guy is being sued for whatever the reason. How does that help you that?
Very simple.
What can I do?
Very simple. Hopefully, doesn't always work that way. Hopefully, when the plaintiff will receive a hazmana from the bezdin, he will do tshuva and realize that the case does not belong in secular court, and it'll end up in bezdin. If he consistently refuses, there'll be no choice. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, thank you. In the case of Shimon HaTzadik, let's say he would have lost more in the secular court than he would have won. And it wasn't his fault that he came to the secular court because Reuven had brought him.
Right.
Does he have any recourse?
Of course he has a recourse. He can continually summon Reuven HaRosha to Bezdin, but the unfortunate reality is Reuven HaRosha has refused to come until now. Maybe he'll get old, he'll get sick, he'll be Erev Yom Kippur. If he ever decides to come to Bezdin, it'll be wonderful. Yes, sir.
What's the demarcation when someone can voluntarily withdraw their case in the secular court?
Right. As I mentioned before, it's very hard. Rabbi Weissman Shalit Amanahel deals with this on a daily basis. What is the tipping point? Until now, I was just doing procedure, and now it's really substantive. In the time that it's allowed, I cannot. Rabbi Weissman, raise your hand, Rabbi Weissman, I should see who you are. He's the man, he's the go-to person. Yes, sir.
Is smelling the trophy enough, or do you need an adverse ruling? In court, is smelling the coffee enough, as you quote?
Yes.
Or do you need an adverse ruling?
I do not believe an adverse ruling is necessary. But again, Rabbi Weissman is a man. Sir.
Can you please explain your equation of Dayane Ovdei Kochavi Mazalos to secular courts and to courts of Neon?
Very good. Kochavi Mazalos refer to pagan courts. The Chazanish went to great lengths to explain it's not because of the paganism which was involved, but rather it's because you're choosing a different forum and a different set of laws which are not in conformance with the Torah law. He went as far as to say, and that's considered to be the truth by almost all posts today, that it even applies to the Israeli secular courts. It's not because of Avodah Zarah proper. Yes, sir?
In a situation where a person is not being forced because he's being called to court, but he wants to collect $1,000, travels to Russia, Russia refuses to come to Bezdin and he goes to court. Can you get ahead of our price then? And also, is he not allowed to sue for more than $1,000?
According to what I said before, he'd be allowed to sue whatever the secular court will give him. If my chiddush is correct. If. Yes, sir.
What is the implication for attorneys and judges who are involved not as litigants, but are, in effect, if you want to be critical of them, facilitating Jewish litigants who are in secular?
I will only say, obviously, at times I'm not allowed to answer your question fully. I'll tell you of a particular judge who happens to reside in this community. I think he's a retired judge by now. His son was my student here in the yeshiva, who in at least one case, and I'm told in many others, when he had two religious Jews come before him and said, "You don't belong here. You belong in the Din Torah." That's what a judge should do if he can, in such a situation. Yes, sir.
If two religious people sign a contract,
right,
a legal contract under secular law,
right,
don't they admittedly both say they're going to be bound by secular law?
A very good question. That's an excellent question. Yes. And in our Bezdin, at least, we will, in fact, decide the case, either in total or in part, based upon the secular law. We believe strongly, so it's a matter of some dispute, that the parties agree to be bound by secular law. And I'll go beyond you. If they didn't agree explicitly, but if it's implicit from their general dealings that they're following secular law in all of their dealings, whether it's between a Jew and a non-Jew, those are 80% of the dealings, and it happens to be a Jew and a Jew and doing the same exact kind of a deal, using a lawyer to represent them, and not a Bezdin person, that they in all likelihood wanted to be governed by the laws and or customs of the business world, which is not necessarily in accordance with Torah law, what we call Minhag HaSocharim, then our Bezdin will take that into account. Yes, Steve. I can only say, to answer your question, that we have recently heard a number of cases via Skype. Rabbi Warburg reminded me that we've had a case in Yerushalayim, right here in this building. Yes, we prefer it in person, but we understand it can't always be. My time is up. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I apologize for having to leave.